Hi, I'm Antonia, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Micah, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Jane, I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Savannah, a student midwife.
Hi, I'm Lucy, and I'm a midwifery support worker.
Hello, my name's Gulbano, and I'm a midwife.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I'm a birth center.
Welcome to the first episode of 2022, the first in our second series of this podcast. I'm Gemma Murphy, and for this episode, I've dived right into the digital world of maternity services. Now, the use of digital technology in the NHS has often lagged behind the possibilities. Often, maternity services are impacted by this, being the last to embrace or have the investment to roll out digital services. Over the past number of years, though, much work has been done and there's so much effort going on out there across the UK to ensure maternity services are future fit for digital. However, this is not always with adequate funding or support structures, and the RCM has long called for more investment to support its members with the shift to digital, in particular with more training. Women using maternity services and maternity staff are often very familiar with modern technology and apps and computer systems and programs in their personal lives, but sometimes this doesn't translate into services. We know that even basic digital record keeping within maternity services, if used effectively, can improve midwifery practice, save midwives precious time in the long run, and ultimately improve the experience of women during their pregnancy journeys. Later in the episode, I'll chat to Jules Gudgeon, who is the NHS National Digital Lead Midwife for Maternity, to hear more about what they're doing to better support midwives and services. But first, let's hear from a group of digital midwives who I caught up with earlier this month to learn more about their roles and how they are navigating the challenges of embedding digital practices into their services. We're kicking things off on a very digital note for the first episode of 2022. And I'm joined by not only one, two or three, but four digital midwives from across the UK, one of whom is my own colleague, the RCM's very own Victoria Kamalaf, who was appointed to the role of Professional Advisor Midwife Digital in 2021. And we're going to hear from Victoria shortly about what the RCM plans to do this year and what the RCM has been doing to support members with the shift to digital. But first, joining us from around the UK are three digital midwives working in services that I'm sure are incredibly busy at the moment.
Hi, I'm Moira. I'm a digital midwife in Scotland in NHS Lanarkshire.
Hi, I'm Isabel. I'm a digital midwife in England, working at Leeds Teaching Hospitals, and I've been a digital midwife for 4 years.
Hi, I'm Anne Watkins. I'm a senior midwife and digital lead at an Iron Bevan University Health Board in Wales. I've been a midwife for 32 years and a digital lead for 2 years.
Wow, what a wealth of experience there is just on this one first podcast for the beginning of the year. Victoria, over to you first as the RCM's professional advisor on all things digital. How does 2022 look for you when you're looking ahead at plans to support members?
So 2022 is set to be really busy and exciting in terms of digital. The RCM is working really hard to put digital at the forefront of what we're doing. And I've got a lot of things in the pipeline. For instance, I'm really looking to focus on digital inclusion and exclusion and perhaps put a position statement out on that and how we support our members to really be included in this digital work going forward. Likewise, I'm going to be looking at putting out a resource for digital literacy. This will be a competency tool for our members, and it's basically just looking at how we use digital in our everyday life and how we use it at work as well. So I really want to put a resource together for our members so we have something like an iLearn, perhaps, that really focuses on our digital literacy.
That sounds like a very, very busy year. And you touched on digital exclusion and inclusion. And I think Mishba, Moira and Anne are going to discuss more about the challenges that they faced being a digital midwife. But I guess inclusion is so important to bring everybody along on this digital journey, right?
It is, definitely.
Fantastic. It's going to be an exciting year. So Anne, you've been a digital midwife for 32 years. What inspired you to make the change into that role?
2 years ago, our system, our current data collection system, became end of life. I was tasked with curing a new system, and I just looked at it as another quality improvement project, really, that I'd done in the past. But I realised very early on that this was an opportunity to truly make a difference and to transform the way we were working, and it, not to be just a data collection tool. So it was an opportunity to implement a fully integrated end-to-end system, and that we could reduce the phenomenal amount of repetition that takes place within maternity. We know how much we all hate all the paperwork that we now have to complete. But most importantly, it was an opportunity to have a system that was really intuitive, that could give us prompts and help us to maintain a better standard of care for our women, and also to make our data really easily accessible, so we could use that data then to improve care. So I just sort of fell into it, really, as a quality improvement project, and then it became my full-time role.
That's so, like so many, I'm sure Victoria and others will say that often. That's what I hear when I'm talking to members who've stepped up to that role, that they've just kind of taken on a project and then they haven't left it. Misbah, how about you in Leeds? Was it a similar experience?
Yeah, similar to Anne, actually. So we had a intrapartum electronic system for 4 years prior to me coming in post. And I was tasked with my team to implement the end-to-end system. And it was really difficult because people have got their own ways of working and we haven't really worked digitally. So it wasn't just implementing the system, but to get everybody on board with digital working and to have the trust. And then we came across issues with hardware, connectivity. So it wasn't just a simple implementing the system. There was many other challenges that we had to overcome as well.
I can imagine. And north of the border, of course, Maura, how about you? What led you into this role?
I suppose I've got a varied experience of 15 years in midwifery and done various different roles over the year. Here in Lanarkshire, we'd had BadgerNet, which is our electronic system, for 5 years. And there had been previously BadgerNet midwives, but they developed a new role last January, which was a digital midwife role. And I suppose it was the understanding of it's not just BadgerNet that midwives have to document on. We're looking to record for electronic prescribing, clinical portal, labs access. There's lots of interfaces that can integrate with our maternity system. So there's been an investment here in Lanarkshire to go ahead with a digital midwife. So we've got lots of different little projects going on, and it's certainly more than a full-time role.
I can only imagine. Now, we have to touch on it because the pandemic has impacted on everybody's working lives significantly with understaffing. But my question really to the three of you is, do you think the pandemic and COVID-19 has slowed down the work and slowed down what you're trying to achieve, or has it actually helped it? Anne?
It's been a bit mixed, really, for us, because our board members were pulled at the beginning to work on the COVID management for the health board. So our pre-investment meetings were all cancelled. And so that delayed our implementation of obtaining funding for our digital notes system. But on the other hand, you know, lots of systems were pushed out quickly because we recognised there was a great need for them. For example, Attend Anywhere. So because we were reducing our contact with our women, and then we needed ways of still counselling them and having appointments with these women without actually seeing them face to face. So the video NHS video call service was introduced. And also Office 365, the Welsh Government pushed that out at an accelerated rate, which meant that we got teams then, so we could have our meetings and continue to develop the service without actually being sat in a boardroom anymore. So there was lots of accelerations of digital, but also it also caused issues that we were delayed.
Yeah, we have heard really great stories from women and those that have used maternity services saying that often if they had children or the cost associated with travelling to an appointment where they didn't have to have physical tests done, that the Zoom call or a Teams call actually worked really well for keeping them connected with their midwife. And Misbah, did you find that in Leeds, or was it a different story?
No, definitely. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the pandemic did help. So because we have got an end-to-end electronic system, we were able to do remote bookings and remote consultations, like Anne mentioned, video consultations and remote monitoring as well. So we do offer remote monitoring for blood pressure and blood glucose to our women. And
And I think as well, we launched a Facebook page because the advice for pregnant women was just changing so rapidly. It was just difficult to keep up to date because, as you know, as soon as you print something on paper, it's out of date. So we were able to keep, you know, keep updating the Facebook page with up-to-date information from the government regarding COVID-19 and visiting and lateral flows and everything else. So it really, really enhanced our use of digital technology, I would say.
That's fantastic. And just to, you know, not to bring the positives down, but I've read and, you know, many digital midwives in new to their posts have said they find challenges amongst their colleagues trying to get them on board and specifically at least having time to train. Have you found that in Scotland, Maura?
I think with a lot of the changes, I'll echo everything that the other midwives have said there about promoting remote monitoring of women and things like that. We've done very, very similar projects. So that's all accelerated throughout of all this. So it's about keeping your staff up to date with that. So I suppose that would be one of the challenges, is trying to keep staff up to date on all the new devices, all the new systems that we use to try and achieve all that with our women. So that has been a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, I guess like Misba said, guidance was changing so often and there's so much guidance in general that midwives need to keep up to date with. It's hard to juggle all the balls all the time when there's not enough staff sometimes. So Victoria, from the RCM's perspective, what has already been done and what's in place to support members, particularly those working in the digital midwife role?
So the RCM has really led the way in terms of digital and really supporting our members. We have a digital position statement. This statement highlights the expectation the RCM has for maternity services to improve and embrace digital technology within practice. This can be found on our website. We also have electronic record keeping guidance and audit tool. This looks at digital record keeping and is a guidance for all midwives. Just because we've gone electronic with most of our documentation, there's still a standard that we need to uphold with our record keeping. This also can be found on our website.
Yeah, that's really important, record keeping, isn't it? And it's fair to say that, and I know this really well because I work in the media office, that we're always shouting as well about more investment in maternity services, more investment in tech so midwives can do their job. Have you found that a barrier, Anne, in terms of investment and funding and what you need to run things smoothly?
I think we've been really lucky in the fact that we've obtained funding for a new digital notes system, but also it's embracing the benefits of the other systems that are around. And for example, you know, Office 365 is an amazing tool. You know, there's so much that we're developing using this tool from a team site for the multi-profession team, you know, to connect and share content and resources, but also using it, the app development that it has. You know, I make the at the moment I'm developing a booking app, a bit like Open Table, but where our clinicians now can book inductions of labours or elective sections, and that gives us a tool then that's much easier to manage rather than the old-fashioned book that we used to write in, and also things like Power Automate about our referrals. So I think we've had a lot of investment. There are things out there. I think we need to make sure that we're heard, that our voice is heard, and the maternity isn't forgotten. I think because we're the smaller cohort of staff, it's quite easy for us to be forgotten for the investment and not included in the bigger picture of the trusts and the health boards. So I think that's a really important aspect, is to make sure our voice is heard and that we're included.
Absolutely. Ms. Budd, would you like to add to what Anne is saying?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Anne's saying. I think it is just using and enhancing the tech we do have available. So we have developed, you talked about training before, so we, you know, do training over Microsoft Teams and we can record it, so then, you know, people are unable to attend because of service pressures, we're then able to share those YouTube links, and we do quite a lot of training. We do like a Friday teaching as well, which we can record and everyone can watch back as well whenever they want. So I think it is just, you know, thinking outside the box and using the technology that we've already got.
That's a really good tip, actually, because you're right, midwives are really busy and they may be in the middle of all sorts of everything and, you know, deliveries and emergencies and whatnot, but they can actually watch in their own time, you know, when they have some downtime and kind of get to grips with everything. Maura, what's been the biggest challenge for you in Lanarkshire?
I think the biggest challenge has been the pandemic, to be honest. However, it has accelerated in lots of ways digital that it would never have before. So I think when I have been given the time to work on this role, I can see so many roads and roadmaps of different types of projects that I want to work on. But to me, trying to make our electronic record that we've had for 5 years now with the BadgerNet system, to try and make it as user-friendly as possible. So we've increased the number of referrals that we've done through Badgers. We heard there Anne talking about a booking system for induction of labour that's coming through in that system soon as well. So it's trying to make that one system do as much as you can for the midwife so that she's not having to double key, she's not having to go into different systems. So we've actually worked on a few interfaces this year that are near completion where it will prevent the midwife having to go into two different systems, so therefore reducing the risk of error in documenting in various records.
That's really great. Victoria, you've recently come out of the NHS working as a digital midwife like Anne, Misba and Maura. What would you say that were the biggest challenges that you faced while you were in service?
So I think, as my colleagues have kind of rightly said, it's been time and culture for me. Time, because you just don't get time to actually do what you really want to do. In terms of innovation, we have midwives that are really innovative. You know, look at Anne is talking about developing apps. You know, we have those midwives that really have a mind for digital and are really keen, but I find that time is always against us. If it's being pulled back to certain to the clinical area to work because of the demands, again, culture goes hand in hand with this, actually, because change is always hard to implement, especially within the NHS. We're used to the way we work and therefore we just really don't like change. So I find embedding change, and this could be through digital systems, new technology, apps, is really hard to get it embedded into the culture.
Okay, and that's exactly what you were saying earlier on, that the RCM is really stepping up this year to help members with the shift to digital, and there'll be lots more resources coming along the way. I think of women that you see, that all of you have seen in your clinics and at your maternity units, and I think how are they, you know, a lot of people like paper and notes in their book, don't they? But then we also use our apps, and everything in life has become so much more digital and phone-based. You read your newspaper on your phone, you talk to your friends on your phone, you order your shopping on your phone. Do you find women are embracing the shift to digital as well? Do they want it? Do they welcome it? I see Mishba's nodding her head.
Yeah, definitely. I just think it's the way that the world is going. We do travel around. We have quite a lot of women that live on the borders, you know, that might come to Leeds for their antenatal care, but want to go deliver in another hospital. And, you know, our phones are, my life's on my phone. Like, everything's with me on my phone. So like, we've recently implemented self-referral to maternity services, and it's linked to your email. And we've had, you know, some women commenting on our Facebook page, like, this is amazing. Like, this is just what I needed. Because I think, as well as having the digital technology, we want to have control. Like, you can go on your phone and do Face ID and do your whole banking. You know, you've got your emails to your phone. So why can't you have control of your maternity journey and be able to view your full maternity record? And I think women are really liking that. And obviously with the pandemic as well, and partners not being able to attend appointments and things like that, at least you can go home and you can, you know, go through your notes and see what fruit your baby is and how it's on your growth chart. You know, it's all part of the journey.
Have you found the same in Wales, Anne?
Yes, definitely. I recently completed a survey of 400 women, and what the women have told me, I didn't ask them, you know, how would you feel about if we took your paper records away from you? I asked them how they accessed information, and that was really interesting. And the majority accessed it on the web, you know, with Dr. Google, which is not evidence-based, and applications. Some of them were downloading up to 5 different pregnancy apps. 90-odd% of them download an app, you know, and I used interpreters. I did the survey within inner city or in a city area. So it was really interesting to see the wide range that there's only one lady of those 400 that didn't have access to the internet. She'd only recently come into the country, but they all had access and they were all utilising it. And which has prompted us then to develop our Healthier Together website. So we have a website that goes from preconception information for pregnancy right up until the age of 18. So we've jointly developed it with our neonatologists and our paediatric colleagues, And it's a website then that they can, that we push them towards at the start of pregnancy, and that hopefully then they can get lots of evidence-based information throughout their pregnancy journey, but also then further on as they're becoming a family and caring for their babies and older children.
That's great, because they're getting the you know, the evidence-based information all under one roof, housed in kind of one app or on one page of a website. Because actually, I never thought about it till you said it there. If I'm pregnant and I download 5-6 different apps, some of them may not be verified. They might not be endorsed by the NHS. Mm. And also, I run the risk of having, like, getting conflicting information, don't I, if you were pregnant. And that's kind of creates more anxiety, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what one lady actually told me. She's had to wean herself off the internet because she was just Googling continuously and, you know, just frightening herself, because, you know, it does give you the horror stories, doesn't it, as well as the information that you need. Yeah, so it was really interesting survey, actually, about how women access information and how we have to modernise. You know, we can't just give pieces of paper anymore because they don't get read. That's what they were telling me.
So in Scotland, we had the Scottish Women Tantaled Record. So the women had the record throughout the whole pregnancy, which they brought to each appointment and then brought when they came in labour. And that was the main source of information that we had for that woman. With it being all digitalised now, we have an app. So they, at first point of contact, they'll be referred to this app, and it's voluntary whether they want to take part in it or not. And they can start compiling some of their booking questions on that. So that then allows time with the midwife and the women at our booking appointment to maybe discuss other things, because it'll apportion time to that as opposed to the midwife keying in all this information frantically. It also allows the women to go and maybe ask about medical history within our family, because sometimes women don't know the questions that you're going to ask. So that's been very, very helpful. And we've also went down the route of personalised care plans for women during the antenatal period as well, so that they get the recommended reading that we stipulate that they'll get at certain weeks. So instead of they will be offered a paper leaflet, but a lot of women will be quite happy to read it on their phone. And some of these are national leaflets, some of these are local leaflets. But in addition to that, the midwife caring for the women can look and say, well, I would like you to have a wee look at this leaflet as well. And it kind of generates that conversation and that shared decision making that we are driving to try and have in our electronic records. So it's providing you with that evidence that you've had those discussions and so on.
Victoria, ultimately, digital midwives around the UK are working really to improve outcomes for women and their babies. But often there is challenges, and we've talked about the challenges. Did you find any examples of really good initiatives or programmes that worked when you were in practice yourself?
I would say the beginning of the pandemic, as we've kind of mentioned, we went on to remote consultations for women with our midwives and our consultants, our obstetric colleagues. This was really, really hastily done. We, for instance, my previous trust, we used Attend Anywhere. And although it wasn't bespoke for maternity, it worked really well. Midwives were able to really quickly, it was quite intuitive, very simple application. Midwives were able to jump on board and offer the women the same level of continuity and maternity care that they would have face to face. So I believe things like Zoom, Attend Anywhere, MS Teams, they've been really great for maternity care. But although we do need something a bit more specific for maternity, that would be fantastic. But in the interim, what we have is working.
Okay. And what we need definitely is, like you've all touched on it, more investment. You know, maternity services are underfunded, they're understaffed. So we need more investment to really drive this through. And what we also need is protected time, because it's glaringly obvious, just speaking to all three, four of you, you know, working, that you just don't have enough time with your other duties and responsibilities to really do all that you need to do. But I guess it's really important to stay in, you know, practice as well, clinical practice, and not just do your one role as a digital midwife. Do you think that's true, Maura?
Absolutely. I would never give up my clinical practice. And I think actually during the pandemic and being deployed back to clinical roles allowed the opportunity to work with midwives and be an expert in that area, so that you could bring it back to your role and see how things could translate into kind of digital transformation solutions. So I think, yes, we're all midwives back to the core, and that will never ever leave us. So I think it's really important. And I think what you've got to remember is, being a digital midwife, you're almost, I sometimes feel as if you're expected to be an expert in every area of midwifery. and midwifery is so vast, and as much as I've got a good grounding experience in midwifery and worked in different areas, I can't be the expert every time. And it's, so it's working alongside your colleagues and building up those relationships. We're very lucky here in Lanarkshire that we have a number of specialist midwives in roles. So they're my go-to people when I'm working on certain projects. And it's about collaborative work when you're coming and doing these things, so that you're not working, kind of, it's not becoming person dependent.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned specialist midwives, because when you were talking, I was thinking when I first came to the RCM, I knew there was a couple of different types of roles within midwifery, but it's ever growing, isn't it? There's so many different specialisms. And while a midwife's a midwife to her core, actually people diverge into really important specialisms. And it's about linking all of that together for the benefit of women, really. If anyone is listening and they're considering stepping up into the role of a digital midwife, Misbah, what would you say?
I'd say go for it, 100% go for it. And don't be afraid to go knocking on them doors and asking them questions, because no question is a silly question. I used to say, I'm not IT. but, you know, don't be afraid, go for it, because you are making a massive difference.
And I see Anne and Maura are also nodding. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think I would agree. You know, it's a really exciting time. You know, that there's so much digital technology out there, and it's totally changing the way we are delivering our healthcare. And we all want to be part of that. You know, you haven't necessarily got to be in a digital role. You know, if you've got an interest, that's the important thing, is to say, oh, I'm interested in this. You know, how can we use digital to improve that care in that way? And I would say, same as Misbah said, yeah, to go for it. You know, it's a great role, and it's just really fascinating and interesting.
Well, this conversation has been so insightful. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you all. I think that we could probably come back in about 6 months' time and check in on how you're doing and how, you know, how you're getting over those challenges, because you seem to be doing it really, really well. And you're very happy. It's coming across as I'm speaking to you that you're all really happy doing this job, which is such an important role. So thank you very much for coming on to our first podcast of 2022. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Jules Gudgeon. You are the National Digital Midwife Lead for Maternity Services in the UK. How are you doing today?
I am doing really well, thank you, Gemma. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's great to have you on board. Now, can you give us a little idea about what your role entails as the National Lead Midwife for Digital?
Well, I can. I think that if I think back to the beginning of the role, the aims and objectives were quite clear, but the role's evolving all the time with the advancement of digital technology, and actually it's an ever-moving target. I describe myself as having a hybrid role with my feet in many, many camps. I think it's fair to say that the lion's share of my role sits in the digital child health and maternity space here at NHSX, where I provide a channel for the voice of clinical digital leaders, really. I am their voice. I provide those open doors so that they can be heard by the programme team who are looking at the digital transformation. I also sit in Jackie Dunkley Bent's leadership team, where I represent all things digital, with the main ethos that digital is an enabler. It enables clinical practice, it enables best care. It isn't the silver bullet, but it is the enabler. So I sit in Jackie's team. And the third part of my role is that I sit in Natasha Phillips's team over at NHSX. Now, Natasha Phillips is our Chief Nurse Information Officer, and her focus is digital in the nursing workforce. And obviously I represent midwifery there.
And isn't it fantastic that midwives have you to represent them at such a high national level? Like you said, it's digital transformation. So transformation in essence is new, isn't it? Do you feel over the years that maternity services in particular have been left behind in terms of investment for tech and digital programmes, etc.?
I don't know whether I would say that they've been left behind. What I would say is that they're only just catching up with what digital health offers. And I think that's different. I think back to my earlier days working in an acute trust, and I would say that digital was something that was bestowed upon us. It was sold as this silver bullet. It was the answer to everything, and we didn't really want it. And I would say that there's often quite a lot of resistance to digital, but over time you begin to realize the benefits of digital. And with that, there needs to be the investment. But we are always faced with being able to demonstrate what the benefits are to justify the money invested, really.
Absolutely. Now, I spoke to digital midwives from around the UK earlier in this episode, and I asked them a similar question, and they said a little bit like you, there was a small, you know, reluctance at the beginning, but more and more people are embracing it because it is the way forward. The digital midwives I spoke to for this episode all said they kind of stumbled into the role, and, you know, some of them were picked or asked or chosen or put their hand up, and they fell upon the role, which they absolutely love and are committed to. But do you think there needs to be some more formal training for digital midwives to bring colleagues along with them?
I absolutely do. I think that what you've just described there around this sort of fumbled into the role sort of approach to digital leadership is something that we hear all too often. I think that's changed over the last few years. I think traditionally midwives have actually taken up transformation implementation type roles that have a start and an end date, and then have just discovered that actually the hard work comes after the implementation of some digital initiative. And so these roles have evolved. I would say that over the last couple of years, it's very different, and actually there's a lot more awareness of it. But there is definitely need for training, and it's something that we are looking at. As I said to you just now, I feel that I am the voice of the midwives, and I advocate on their behalves. And having listened to the Digital Midwives Expert Reference Group, there is a real cry out there for training, leadership development. And so we have just actually put together a very small task and finish group of digital midwives who are going to be working with us to create a specification document. And it's envisaged that we are going to develop some training for digital midwives this coming year. And this is bespoke training for digital midwives primarily, but hopefully open to anyone working in digital maternity really going forward. And we believe this will be a blueprint for other specialties to take forward.
Well, that's really exciting news, and it almost answers the question that I had for you. So I think if anybody's listening and they're in the digital midwife role, they can look forward to kind of more formal training coming on stream this year. Now, my question is, we always have this struggle, don't we, at boards and having leadership, midwifery leadership at the highest echelons of the NHS and on trust boards. How important is it for the digital agenda in maternity services to get to board level, to get that support at trusts and hospitals across the UK?
I think it's absolutely pivotal. It is the way that we have to go forward, and we've tried really, really hard. And actually, if you'd have asked that question, if we'd have asked the question, are the board aware of digital innovation in maternity? Perhaps, I don't know, even 5, 7, 8 years ago, then the answer, you would have got blank faces, really. But I think that the tide's turning. And I think that overall in maternity, we actually do have representation at the trust board in all trusts. It's how we use it. I think it's there to be used. I think that we have to remember, don't we, that each trust has a board level sponsor for safety. We have just completed the Unified Tech funding, and I insisted that within the bid application, they had to demonstrate that they've got board level sponsorship to undertake the roles. And then in addition to that, as part of the CNST safety action too, we talked about having a digital strategy in place. And once again, we recommended that they went for board level sign off or integrated care sort of board level sign off, almost to push those doors open to say, hey, look, maternity is still here. We don't put those measures in place to make it more difficult. We are trying to open doors for the digital midwives so that they have that opportunity to shine. And I've got some fantastic examples of where this has actually worked extremely well. So I would say, yes, it's really, really important that digital maternity is recognised by the board. I think it's really important that we have a digital strategy for maternity services that feeds into the wider trust strategy. I think that those doors are there, but it's up to us to empower the midwives to be able to open those doors and shine.
That's interesting. And I was listening to what you said, and you mentioned safety and, you know, grabbing the attention of people at board level. And at its most basic level, I guess digital transformation, digital record keeping are really important when it comes to delivering safe care that really, we know evidence tells us that improves outcomes, and women, you know, have much smoother journeys in the NHS when they're pregnant. So digital record keeping, although it's probably the most basic part of the role of the whole digital transformation, is probably key as well in terms of safety.
I think it is. I think it really is. I think that you touched on something there without probably realising it, that you said there that we look at safety. We're absolutely focused on safety. To determine whether a service is safe or not, you have to be able to benchmark it. And to benchmark it, you've got to have a measure. And the data that we collect is that measure. Yeah. So if we can improve the quality of the data that we collect, then we will have a much better yardstick to measure how safe we are. I talk often around safety and the quality of data that's collected. And I always talk about One Trust, who were on paper and implemented a digital system, only to discover on their dashboard that they'd got concerns in some of their areas. And when they did a deep dive and they really looked at the data, they established that the data they were collecting on paper before wasn't robust. It didn't reflect the service. And actually, by increasing the quality of the data that was being captured, they had a true representation of the service and were able to do something about it. So without collecting that robust quality data, then actually we can't really determine how safe our services really are.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Now, just going back to digital midwives, and people are often, I guess, apprehensive about taking up the role because they want to stay within their kind of clinical roles and they love being an actual, you know, jobbing midwife. And there's also sometimes, from time to time, confusion at what band should a digital midwife be sitting at?
Okay, so I'm going to say, Gemma, that I can't answer that question.
Yeah, that's okay.
And the reason it's an impossible question to answer. Okay. Quite simply because the role itself isn't standardised across the country.
Okay.
So a midwife in the south may call herself a digital midwife, and a midwife in the north may also call herself a digital midwife, but they have completely different roles and responsibilities. And we often find that some midwives are reactive, they're problem solving. A midwife who you may have interviewed actually said that my role involves anything that's got a plug on it. And so for some midwives, it's managing the problems that come through the doors. However, there are other digital midwives that are more strategic. They have a digital leadership role. And so therefore, banding is about what you do within your role.
Okay.
What I would say is that with all the work that we've done, the intelligence that we've collected over the last 6 months, I would suggest that the majority of digital midwives are band 7. And the digital midwives working at LMNS level sit at an 8A. I am mindful that there are digital midwives that sit at a band 6, but without understanding what their roles and responsibilities are, I can't say whether that's right or wrong. For me personally, it should be a transformational leadership role. This isn't a reactive role. This is digital leadership and transformation at the heart of everything that we do. And therefore, naturally, for me, it sits under that specialist midwife role at Band 7.
Yeah, and you're right. It's something that has to be embedded for a while. And and it's strategic as well. So I think people listening will really appreciate what you said there. Now, we don't have all day, unfortunately, Jules, because we could speak for so much more longer about everything to do with digital. Have you found the pandemic has improved or kind of stalled and slowed down digital transformation? Because when I spoke to our group of digital midwives, they had a mixed bag. In some areas, it had really sped things up for them. And in others, digital had kind of been left on the shelf because midwives are simply so busy just doing what they need to do in the face of understaffing.
I think I'm going to sit in both camps there. I think the simple answer is yes, it did impact and it also stalled. I think that for midwives and maternity, the digital appetite was growing pre-pandemic. I think we were further on than nursing. We were seeing some amazing initiatives taking shape. And then when the pandemic hit us, we saw some absolutely fantastic examples of digital innovation, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. I always think of Lincoln. They really embraced a digital technology and had this can-do attitude, using digital technology that wasn't designed for their services and adapting it to meet their service needs and proving the art of the can-do attitude, really. I'd also say, I think I would also say that the benefit that came out of the pandemic, or we're not out of it yet, but as a result of the pandemic, is that it silenced many of the people that I refer to as the digital disruptors. So within every service, you've got these people that are adverse to digital technology. I refer to them as the digital disruptors. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of those were converted and got more people on board. It was more that they couldn't resist because there was nothing else on offer. I mean, how many people do you know now that use Zoom as an everyday thing, Teams, yeah. Google Meet? You know, it's an accepted thing in people's lives. And I think that as a result of the pandemic, it's really helped us. However, like you suggested, the sad part of it is that the feedback from the digital midwives is that many of them are being redeployed to provide direct care, which obviously is appropriate because women's safety will always come first. However, yes. I think it's important that we have to remember that at the end of the shift, that team that have been working clinically will go home. But for the digital midwife, she's got to catch up with her day job. And so therefore, I think that's really, really hard for digital midwives. And also, this is the reason why you'll hear me in other interviews talk about I'm a really strong advocate for a digital midwife being a digital leader and working within a team supported by project managers, supported by analysts, so that she can be that subject matter expert and the work continues even when she's not there. And I think that's absolutely key to the profession going forward, that we learn to work with other professions to enable us to be those experts, really.
Yeah, and that investment and support is around the digital midwife, like you said.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
That does seem like it's key to the success of all of this. Jules, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you ever so much. And I look forward to updates, and we'll maybe catch up later in the year.
It would be a pleasure. It really would.
That's all for this episode, and a big thank you to all my guests for their contributions. All the support and guidance we discussed during our conversation you'll find on the RCM's website, rcm.org.uk. Also, a quick reminder, if you want to stay right up to date with all the latest news from the RCM, which comes out weekly and fortnightly via emailed newsletters, please make sure we have your most up-to-date email address and that you've chosen the right preferences, that you've opted in to receive our email updates. You can update your details by using your membership number on the RCM's website. Next month, we turn our attention to pay, pensions and recruitment and retention. Of course, the National Insurance and pension and contributions will increase later this year, and that will impact RCM members. So I'll be catching up with those in the know who'll have some important advice to share. Until then, take care.